The head coach of the Vancouver Canucks, Travis Green. Welcome to Sportsnet 650.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Good to be here.
How are you? All settled in now?
Yeah, we're ready to go.
Which names do you not want to hear the most? Is it Besser, Virtanen, or McDavid?
Jeez, tough one.
What do you think about last night? That was incredible.
It's a pretty good exhibition of some skill there. Yeah, he's a good player for sure. I watched pretty well all the game except for the last couple minutes there, and he's a good player.
Yeah. How do you stop someone who is as dominant as he can be?
Well, you're not going to stop a guy like that. You got to contain him and hopefully limited his scoring chances, but they had a lot last night. They were good last night, boy.
Coach, are you ready? You fired up? You ready to go this week off?
Yeah. No, it's the week's been long. You know, the guys, you go through training camp and you play your last game on Saturday, and you know, our biggest thing was how do we handle this week, because they're not used to having a week between games. Especially, you know, we had the China trip. It feels like it's been a long camp, and I know our guys are excited to get going and get playing. So, you know, Saturday can't come quick enough for me or for the players, for sure.
Skate them, and skate them again, then, right?
You gave them a day off
we
today.
Did. Yeah, no, we skated them. We had 3 good days. We had a little even inter-squad kind of scrimmage for a few minutes yesterday just to kind of get them back into a little bit of game action. But it's hard. No matter what you do, nothing's like a game.
So tell me this. Who are you as a coach from a player? What did you learn? Because I look at you coming in to the National Hockey League as a player. You were kind of a skilled guy. And you look at some of your numbers in the early days, like, you know, you were scoring 25 goals a season. You put up 70 points in your early days with the Island. And then you kind of became more of that checking guy. So what's shaped you into the coach that you are now? What sort of player?
Well, the player that I was, exactly what you said. I thought I was a goal-scoring guy. I came out of junior as a high goal-scoring player and thought, that's what I was going to do in the NHL. And when I finally,
and you had the hair for it, too.
I had everything set up to be the goal scorer.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't quite have the game for it, but I thought I did when I was young. And, you know, even my first 2 years in the minors, I had the conversation with Godolbin the other day. You know, I looked at his stats, looked at mine, and I said, they're pretty close. Take a look.
Yeah.
And I thought I was ready. Like, I was convinced I was ready to play. I remember Butch Goring telling me, I'll never forget it, you're not ready. Like, you're not close. And, you know, I look back on that day, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Like, I was not ready.
To be cut?
I was not ready to play. Yeah, I wasn't even close. And I thought I was for sure. And thought I had the AHL all figured out, and I was ready to play in the NHL, and why wasn't I there? And
because you've had that conversation with a couple of players this week.
Yeah, like, you know, there's when you're a young player, there's so much emphasis on just playing, scoring. You know, it's your dream to play in the NHL. And
you don't want to shackle that energy either,
no,
right?
No, you don't.
That's,
I definitely
like,
don't.
The passion.
Like, that is. I want players that just want to play hockey and love playing the game, coming to the rink. And for me, I talk about, you know, a will to win, an inner will. And, you know, that I didn't really become the player that I was really proud of till probably 7-8 years into the NHL. And it was almost like you said, after I was a checker, then I got 70 points, but I really wasn't a good player then. And I felt like I was a better player when I just played to win. And, you know, that takes a while. And how you get that into your players is different for each player. And I want players that just love playing and love winning. And, you know, I don't care if they love scoring or all the other stuff that comes with playing in the NHL, because it is great. Like, it's the best job in the world.
Do you have that here in Vancouver? Do you have guys that are just really excited, want to play?
Well, I know we have guys that are excited to play, and I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, we have that will to win right now. It's too early for that. Mm-hmm. We have to establish our identity. We have to, you know, everyone talks about creating this culture. That doesn't happen overnight. That, you know, identities don't just happen. You have to earn that.
So what is that? What is that culture?
Right now?
Yeah. What is this team going to be? But I mean, you're trying to figure out what that is. But what do you want? What culture or what do you want this team to look like from the coach's perspective?
Well, you want a team that's just relentless in their, you know, will to win, and that's ultimately what you need. It's so hard to win, and everyone wants to win. But what are you willing to do? And, you know, it takes time, and we're going to know. I don't know right now what our identity is. I know what kind of team you have to be to have success in the NHL. You know, I think I know. It's a lot of people watch the games. It's a fast game now. You have to play fast. If you don't, you're going to be left behind. And we've tried to push our team through camp. I have seen the pace of our game pick up. But, you know, we're playing for keeps now.
There are players who I would think would want better results than what happened last year. When you first got here, you called out two players, Henrik and Daniel, who admittedly agree they would probably want better years than they had last year. But Louis Eriksson, Ben Hutton, there are a lot of guys. Yeah. Erik Gudbrandsson was hurt for almost the whole year. There are a lot of guys who need to have better years this year than last.
Well, and they'd be the first to admit it. Well, you know, and people talk about that. I called out the Sedins. I didn't call them out. I talked with both of them for an hour, and within the conversation, we talked about the team, their career, you know, their plans.
And then threw shade on them and said, "You got to be
no." But we talked about their season.
Yeah,
like I talked about them as a team, as individuals. Nothing like I wouldn't do with any other player. And
sure,
they're honest. They're Hall of Fame players that understand where they're at.
They weren't great.
And they felt like they could have been better last year. And I agreed with them. And it was a great conversation. For a first conversation, it was an hour long, and we had open, honest conversation. And they want to be better. And like you said, there's other guys on the team that have to have better seasons than they had last year. And for this team to get better, we have to play better, first and foremost.
Travis, how are you able to gauge that? And were you able to watch a lot of Vancouver games last year? Because you're almost in this bubble where you're focused on your team in Utica, and you're focused on the league and trying to win. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you're insulated from not seeing that, but how do you get a read on that?
Well, I watched a lot of games. Games were, because of the time change, I could come home at 11 at night and sit at 10 o'clock at night and watch the game till, you know, it was fine. Go to bed at 1 or 2 and watch the game. It was actually great. So I watched, I would say, 50 of the games.
Well, this is a way better time zone for that now.
Yeah, it works out better now.
You watch the early games.
Yeah.
When you took over the team and your assessment going forward, how did you want to see this team playing this season? What is it that you're looking for out of the players? And, you know, score goals and defensive and all that, but what are you hoping to get out of, you know, your top three lines, let's say, or even all four lines? What are you trying to get out of them?
I've said that I feel like the way our team is built,
because speed wins now, right?
We have to have four lines.
Yeah,
like we have to play four lines to play with the pace that we want to play. I think we're going to have some depth throughout our lineup, our forward group. I've said it openly that there might be nights when the so-called whoever it is fourth line might be better than any line on our team. And there might be nights where I don't know who the first line is or the fourth line. And, we're probably not going to have a star-studded first line like some teams have. And mm-hmm. So how are we going to win? Well, we're going to have to win through depth, through consistency, through pace, through 60-minute hockey.
Will you go so far as to match up game by game? Like, you've got Edmonton on Saturday. Will you dress the lineup for what you look like that may be different from Winnipeg to Toronto to whatever?
We will change our lineup. We'll change our lines. I'm not afraid to change, you know, lines a lot, and I will change them based on who we're playing. I think the way our team is shaped up, that's kind of the way we'll have to be. I like having pairs, but I'm not sold on it. I like players that can play anywhere and aren't affected if they play one game with someone and one game with the other. I want them to play the right way, and I think we have a team that, you know, their details are going to have to be good. They're going to have to work to win.
We're talking to Travis Green here in studio here on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650. I've got a tweet here from Rico that says, "Tell Greener we need the young legs in the lineup against the Oilers in the home opener." And that's and you know, we laugh as we hear that, but at the same time, I'm sure you probably hear this when you're walking the street here in the city. The pulse of this community, you constantly hear, everybody wants to see the kids. Everybody wants to see, you know, for a team that's transitioning, Travis, and I'm sure you get a sense of it too, people want to see Jake Virtanen, and they want to see Brock Besser.
Right.
How do you what's the appropriate way to utilize these kids at a time where, you know, you don't want to necessarily give them too much too soon, and at the same time, you had this conversation with Goldobin you used a few minutes ago about being ready or not, but at the same time, you've got this collective fan base that's saying, we want the kids. We want the kids.
Right.
So how do you balance that?
Well, it's you put thought into it, like, and you can't coach off what other people want.
Hashtag no, it's complicated.
Oh, you can't.
Yeah, like
everyone telling you how to do your job.
It feels like there's a lot of assistant coaches in the city.
We're here to help. Yeah, we're here to help.
Got some good
Welcome
ones.
We're
right
just thinking yeah. about you, coach.
I really trust the ones that are sitting with me every day. So, you know, you have
even
to protect,
Nolan Baumgartner.
Yeah, really? Even Bomber. So. But you need to protect these guys, I think, first and foremost. There's a lot of, right now, there's a lot of expectation on these young guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, this is not a sprint. Like, this is a long season. Like, we've got game one coming up, and I still haven't decided on the lineup. And I've talked to lots of guys on the team and talked to the young guys and told them that, you know what, you've taken some steps. We need to make sure that we're stepping forward, not backwards.
Got to be hard for you too, though, right? Because it's opening night and you feel the anticipation coming, and it's, you know, I'm sure even your own competitive juices are starting to pump a little, right?
They are, but I also know that, you know, hey, I'm don't get me wrong, I'm excited for game one. Like, I, you know, we've been waiting for this.
That's
for
a good
while.
Poker face. Mm-hmm. It sounds right now.
But, you know, there's 82 games, and our lineup is going to change drastically. We're probably, you know, at times we're, you know, you're probably going to see 30-something players in our lineup this year. Mm-hmm. I think last year the number was crazy, 40 guys or something like that played. So
almost 500 man games lost.
Yeah. So, like, people get so caught up in this first game. And, you know, we got a good team coming in. We want to have a good start. I want to work young guys into the lineup. But it's not just on scoring goals and how you score a goal. It's how you play the game, how you improve, how you survive. We got to make sure these guys become full-time NHL players. And not just players that play in the NHL, but players that you win with. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's the biggest thing. I don't want players that just play. I want players that play the right way and play to win and understand what it takes to win.
Coach, you weren't afraid to, you know, say to Daniel and Henrik, you need to be better. And it seems like that you kind of come as advertised of what we're seeing right now with you when you stand at the podium and you're a pretty honest guy. Is that how you want your players to look at you, to know that, you know what, I know at the end of the day, coach has my back, and I know coach is going to be honest with how I'm playing?
For sure. I mean, that's what players want. They want to be told the truth. And the guys in the room know. Like, they know. They know who's playing well. They know who makes mistakes. They know who isn't playing hard enough, who's taking shortcuts, who, you know, they know who should play and who shouldn't play. And, you know, the average fan doesn't see some of the things that, you know, players see, coaches see, stuff that we show on video, the stuff behind the doors that, you know, no one sees. And I believe that if you want your team to play a certain way, you have to be honest with them. And if you want players to be accountable for their play, they have to trust you that what you're saying is the truth.
Are you willing to do that publicly though too? You've been that guy for the last few weeks. Not to say that you've thrown guys under the bus, but you've been candid enough to say he's got to be better. Like your assessment of Olli Juolevi, I thought, was very telling. That, you know, what you were saying yesterday, that here was a kid who didn't seem to be in NHL shape.
Yeah, and that wasn't really, I think some people might take that as a knock, but it's like he's a 19-year-old guy. You know, he's
had his own trainers and things like
becoming
that.
Becoming a man.
Yeah.
Trying to play in a man's league.
Dude, I'm 42 and I don't have it figured out physically yet. So
you
I
might
get
not
it.
Get there.
He's not cracking the lineup
That's
for
cold.
Sure. Anytime
cold.
Soon.
That's cold.
I don't think I'm going to get there again either. but these guys, like, you know, he's got a year, and he's not there right now. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I don't look at it and say, hey, like, I look down at him because he's not there. Mm. But he's in good shape for a 19-year-old hockey player, but he's not in the shape of an NHL defenseman. And that's the truth. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, that's honesty.
Right. Yeah. And send him to Sammy to get, you know, a little bit of experience turn into a man and maybe come back next year.
Yeah.
Just better health, though, right?
Than Sammy. Right, yeah, for sure.
Who needs to be wrapped in bubble wrap? But that's
Newell Brown brought in to help with the power play, among other things. Do you like? I mean, Newell Brown is an interesting guy because he was one of the first guys to use the drop pass in the NHL, which now pretty well everybody does. But do you like the idea of what he's done so far with the power play? And do you like that forward on on the point?
I do like the forward on the point.
You don't use it in the second sometimes, right? You have 2D on the second power play unit.
Depends on the time.
Right.
Like a lot of times, you know, you get down to 30 or 40 seconds. The last thing I want to do is get scored on at the end of a power. And we've got some guys that can play, some defensemen that can play. You know, I look at our team, we've got, you know, four guys probably that are power play guys or think they are and
right.
have played there a little bit. So we've got to find out who's going to play in the first one, who's going to play in the second one. You know, this Saturday will be the first time that we've played our group, where a lot of teams have already played one, two games with their group going in. So I'm excited to see our whole team together for the first time on Saturday night.
And Gagne's on the point, or you don't know yet?
He's going to play part of the power play for sure somewhere. And,
right.
You know, we've been working with the Sedin group, and I'm guessing we'll start that way. We're going to finalize things today. We got meetings later today just to talk about things and go over again. A lot of special team talk today before we go into our final practice tomorrow. We've had some different looks. Yesterday we worked on some, you know, some penalty killing and power play, but you got some guys that play both spots, so it's a little different.
Have you as a goaltender established themselves as number one with Vancouver
no.
this year?
I think both goalies played well last week. They're both hoping to be number ones. They're both at a stage in their career where they're ready for that challenge. And I thought they both played well last week, so we'll see where it goes.
Have you picked a starter for Saturday?
In my head, I have one.
You gonna share that with them?
Nope.
Nope.
No, honestly. Where's that honesty? Where's the honesty here? Come on.
That is the honesty.
No.
No.
And one last question. That is Marcus Granlund. Can you talk about Marcus? And you had him on a, I know you don't like 1-4, but potentially a fourth line with Brandon and just where you see his, I mean, he's skilled, he's fast. Where would you like to see him up in the lineup if you were going to move him up in the lineup?
Well, some days he's on the second line. Some days he's on the checking line. He's kind of a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
But he's just a real good hockey player that can, you know, so far I'm getting to learn him, you know, about him a little bit more. He's not a real talker, but he's just been a real good player every game. And those are, you know, those kind of players coaches, they like because they know they can play them in any role.
And you've heard the Twins have probably been in your ear about where they like, where they,
they like him,
right?
Where they want him.
No, I know. Well, and,
do you take suggestions from players?
Yeah, I do. These guys, why would I not?
Yeah,
no, mm-hmm. but
yeah, like the Sedins are, you know, again, they're Hall of Fame players that are very smart. They understand the game.
But even not just them. Like if Bo Horvat's coming up to you to say, hey, you know what? We kind of had some magic with Sven Berchi last year, and you know what? Maybe Bo would or Brock Besser might be a nice little fit with us.
I think you have to earn that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like you have to get to a stage in your career where you, from a coach's standpoint, that you know that these players really understand the game, and they're talking for the not just the better of themselves, but the better of the team, and that's a fine line between. But I listen to all the players and have an open door policy. You can come in and talk anytime.
One final question from me, Coach. What are you doing when you're not watching video and you're not at the rink and you're not doing hockey?
Yeah.
What else does Travis Green
Sleeping.
Like? What else do you do?
Especially after China, right?
I don't do much. This has been a busy training camp. You know, we've been with the trip to China, like you said, there was a lot of lack of sleep there and coming back. A lot of prep work for the start of the year. And it'll be nice just to get down to starting a schedule that's a little bit, you know, normal. Like we're used to the hockey season. Mm-hmm. We know how that works, how that feels. And there's not a lot of times where you have a week off or you go to China. So it'll be nice to get going.
How do you get Derek Pouliot into your top six, considering that who would you take out in order to put him in? That's a tough one for you, I would think.
Not really.
Really?
Derek Pouliot will get himself into the top six, not me. And how he plays, how he practices, you know, he might have to wait a little bit. I like our top six right now, but I also like the potential of Derek Pouliot. So we'll watch him close in the next few days. We'll work with him on see where his conditioning's at, talk to him about our structure, how we want to play. And again, I'm in no rush I don't feel like we have to rush Derek Pouliot into a game. We just need to get Derek Pouliot feeling good about himself, his confidence, make sure, you know, a guy that plays with the puck, he has to believe in himself and believe in, and have confidence mm-hmm. in order to play his best. And I want players to be put in a spot they can succeed, not a spot that they're not going to succeed in. That's useless for him and for us.
Travis Green in studio here with us. Just in closing, I think to what Myra's kind of line of questioning here for a second, just get a different sense of Hugh, as not from just the coach, but the person. So tell me this. Do you have a favorite movie?
Don't say Slapshot.
Do I have a favorite one?
Movies that jump out for you?
Oh, man, you got me on the spot. Seven.
Seven. Okay. Wow, yeah. That's dark.
Usual Suspects.
Well, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Wow. Guy likes
Kaiser Sose.
Yes.
Right?
I like that. Those are old school,
like
but
that,
I like them.
He was gone. Yeah,
do you like Air Supply? Because Steve does.
I'll pass on that.
That's not going to be on your
I'm more of a country,
on your playlist?
Country guy.
I was going to say, what about from a
I'm
music
I'm a country
standpoint?
Guy, too, so
country,
it's okay.
I'm a country guy.
Me, too.
What do you like? What do you like from a country standpoint?
You know what? I'm a top, whatever's playing the top.
Chris Stapleton?
Yep, for sure.
Tim McGraw?
Yep.
Yeah, all that stuff. Good.
All right.
I used to be a country DJ, so back in the day. So there you go.
Favorite pregame meal?
Chicken parm.
Okay.
Chicken parm. That is so like typical hockey.
So hockey player.
Like,
that's right.
Pucks in deep. Pucks in deep. Yeah, what are you watching on Netflix?
I'm not a big Netflix guy.
No?
No.
So no Netflix.
And you watch all the travel.
I pretty well watch sports. I'm not a TV guy.
What's your favorite sport beyond hockey then?
Oh, man. Probably golf.
Yeah? Do you play?
I am an avid golfer. I haven't played much for the last few years, but I love the game, and it's a nice way to get away and get your mind off hockey a little bit. But I haven't played.
And frustrate yourself?
Yeah, frustrate yourself. It is. It's more frustrating now than it used to be.
And you can use a lot of four-letter words.
Practice,
in that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey,
last question for me. Expectations are always great at the beginning of the season. If things start to, what do you say to the players if things are not going well? How do you get them to stay on the positives as a coach?
Well, I've gone through that before.
Yeah.
You know,
how did you deal with it?
As a player, as a coach, when we started in Utica, we went, I think, 0-10 or something like 0-8-2. And there was a time where I had to talk to the team and be honest with them and tell them where we're at. And actually back then it was, I feel like we're playing well, believe it or not.
Yeah.
That's what I said. I said, just stick with the program. Have belief in what we're doing. And as far as expectations here, I've said it from day one. We need to get better. And however that equates, we need to improve. We need to improve how we play, the pace that we play at. Playing 60 minutes the right way. And that's going to eventually lead to wins.
Right.
And you hope that it starts right away. I want to see this team improve, but I want to see this team improve for the long haul. You don't want to just play a mediocrity. I'm going to spit that out or try to again.
Yeah,
I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But, if you want to win championships, you've got to play the game a certain way. And that's within your structure, within your how hard you play, your willingness, again, to win and play the right way. And that's we need to improve. And hopefully in March, we're playing meaningful games that matter. This is not about me sitting here saying, hey, we're going to make the playoffs. We're not going to make the playoffs. It's a process of putting one step in front of the other. And I like where we started with training camp. And it'll be nice to play games for real.
I think collectively, the fan base certainly feels like this team's finally starting to trend in the right direction. And I think you've got a lot of fans in your corner hoping to see that sort of success this season. Thank you very much for
all
this.
Right,
yeah, I did get a quick text from a former teammate of yours, our Tuesday hockey analyst, Todd Bertuzzi, says, you better dress two goaltenders against the Oilers on Saturday.
Maybe I could just put Bert in that.
Right. What it is.
Good luck with that. He usually won the green jacket, I think. Which
he'll just push off, as
yeah,
he
or
said.
Keep him off the ice.
The head coach of the Vancouver Canucks joining us here in studio, Travis Green, on Sportsnet 650.